Yo!
Hey, we're Millencolin
from the country of Sweden.
And you're listening to
Dying Scene Radio.
Guys, what's it like having like the hottest women in the world right there?
It's awesome, man.
Awesome.
The Swedish bikini team, man.
Woo! You don't ever like, fancy yourself some Mexicans or
no, we're
something different.
Now we're all Swedish, man. Come on.
We're Vikings, dude. We like the Viking women.
You're crazy, dude. Dying Scene Radio.
Are you ready to roll the dice, Mr. Pickles? It's time for episode 29 of the Dying Scene Radio Show. I'm Bob Noxious.
And I'm Bobby Pickles, and I hope we don't crap out on this one because mommy needs a new pair of shoes. Anyway.
We're going to put this one all on black and see where we can take it, man.
That's a different game, Bob, but anyway.
I was talking about gambling in general. You know, football season starts this week. I'm actually in a one of those, you know, big giant collectives that throws $5 in. You pick the games. So I got $1,700 in my sights. So gambling's on my mind. I got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
Now you're telling me that you joined a what the fuck is that called?
Well, I got two things. I got a fantasy football team, of course, but I also did the thing where you choose all of the teams. What do you call it? It's like the box, the grid. I don't know. I don't know what you call it, but you throw $5 into a hat, you pick the games, and...
You did the football pool this week?
That's it. Yes, yes. The football pool with over 300 people. $1,700 is the jackpot. So I'd like to have that.
Bob, we're horrible examples to set when we're trying to sit here and talk about sports. We don't even know the terminology. We're bumbling around. You threw $5 into the football pool. Who'd you pick? You picked all the teams, right? You picked... all the winners?
Yeah, so far I'm doing good. The Thursday night intro game was with New England, and I picked them to win over the Steelers, and they did. So I don't want to talk about football, Bobby. I wanted to talk about that big pool of money I was going to win. That's all I really care about. That and punk rock.
Absolutely, Bob. I love punk rock. But you know what? I wanted to make an addendum to last week. You know, we're talking about how stupid I am. I didn't know this person, didn't know that person. I want to talk about Ronnie James Dio, man. I actually looked him up. He popularized the metal horns hand gesture in metal culture, Bob. I found that really interesting, you know.
I grew up listening to Ronnie James Dio, but I got to ask you this, Bobby. Have you ever seen the Jack Black film Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny?
Of course. I love Tenacious D.
Well, if you watch the intro to that movie, it's got Ronnie James Dio in it. That gave me, like, newfound love for Ronnie James Dio. Man, if you don't remember what part I'm talking about, it's on YouTube. Just go Google the intro to it. It's great, man. That's probably my all-time favorite movie.
Another one was Mikey Erg. I brought myself to school on that one, too, man. So I'm excited about potentially having him on, and that should be a great show. Hope you set that up.
He said yes, and I guess all I got to do is just respond back to his email. So we'll set that up. We got lots of great guests, including Millencolin this week. You and I sat down. We spoke with Frank Turner as well. That'll be on next week's show. And maybe we'll circle the calendar and see if we can't get Mikey Erg the week after. That's kind of unofficial. We'll figure it out as we go.
You know, Bob, speaking of Frank Turner, he has a new album out, if you don't already know. And he's been steadily releasing tracks, lyric videos, and more in support of its release. Check out DyingScene.com for his new music video, Josephine. The song is track number 9 on Positive Songs for Negative People, which came out last month on Extra Mile Records. Frank Turner is currently wrapping up a solo tour in Europe and is getting ready to go on a full band tour across the U.S. through October, then across the U.K. through November. Check out all the dates, locations on the DS website. Bob and I had a chance to chat with Mr. Turner, just like Bob was mentioning before, and that interview will air on next week's episode. And, you know, not to be redundant, but that's going to be interesting.
I guess that makes it official.
It was cool, man. It was cool talking to him, and he gave us a lot of time. But this week, we speak with Millencolin. I got a chance to interview Millencolin at their Brooklyn show last week at the Music Hall of Williamsburg. in Brooklyn. So that's the trendy area, Bob, if you're not familiar. But anyway, I actually got to interview them on the tour bus. We'll have that interview later. Anyway, more in the news, there's been a lot of video releases last week, Bob. So all throughout the show, I got video releases and I got tour dates. So Czech melodic hardcore group Hopes have just released a new music video for their new song, Trapped. You can check it out on Dying Scene. Catch the band on tour this month throughout Europe. See a list of their dates in Italy, Austria, Germany, Switzerland, and Slovenia on that same DyingScene.com news page right below their new video. Hopes Last released their EP, Wake Up, in 2014 via Beyond Hope Records. Grab a free Name Your Price download of the EP on the Beyond Hope Records Bandcamp page or find the link on DyingScene.com. Moving along, New York hardcore veterans H2O has announced some European tour dates. You can check out the dates and locations on Dying Scene. The new album, Use Your Voice, will be released October 9th via Bridge 9 Records. It will be H2O's first album in 7 years since 2008's Nothing to Prove. Anyway, that's all I got for this segment, Bob. Music Maestro, please.
This right here is a band out of the UK. They're called Dynamite Dynamite, and they're streaming two brand new songs titled Die for This and Nobody Likes a Moaner. Both songs are off of their upcoming album entitled Apologies, Apathy. It's due out September 19th on 13 Stitches. Dynamite Dynamite last released an EP, It's Only Breathing, in 2014. You can go check out both of their latest songs streaming online by clicking these here links on Dying Scene. This is Dynamite Dynamite doing Die for This on Dying Scene Radio.
Nowhere to go, searching for my sight, tell me so now. I'm finally on my own. Never knew somebody could die for this. Never knew somebody could die for this. Never knew somebody could die for this.
The Ripper representing the Dwarves, and you're tuned to the sounds of Dying Scene Radio.
the South of UK punk rockers, The Mistakes, who have just released their new self-titled EP this week. The Mistakes was released through the UK's band Jumpstart Records, not to be confused with Jumpstart Records, and was recorded and mixed by Gareth Matthews and mastered by Steve Nagasaki at Nagasaki Sounds. If you like your punk with healthy doses of rock and roll, swagger, and splashes of the ska upstrokes, you'll want to give this one a spin. So go ahead and turn it up to 11 when you go hit them streaming sites. Bobby, back to you in the newsroom.
Bob, have you ever heard anything about the punk rock film festival that is taking place in Gainesville during Fest 14?
I do now only because I read the article earlier on Dying Scene, but why don't you go ahead and enlighten everybody else and tell us more about it.
Well, the event is being put on by Sean Colon, he's director of A Fat Wreck, and Joel Herrera, producer of A Fat Wreck, which is a feature-length documentary film that focuses on the San Francisco-based independent punk label Fat Records, which was started in 1990 by Fat Mike of NoFX. We've been trying to get Sean on as a guest host, but scheduling hasn't permitted that yet, but I was able to contact him and Joel for a brief comment about the festival, and here's what they had to say.
Hello!
Hello! Hi, this is Joel Herrera, producer of A Fat Wreck and one of the co-creators of Punk Rock Film Fest.
And this is Sean Colon. I am the director of A Fat Wreck and the founder of Punk Rock Film Fest.
So tell me more about Punk Rock Film Fest, Sean.
So it's going to be in Gainesville, Florida on October 31st and November 1st at the Hippodrome Theater.
What are you going to be showing?
We're showing Filmage. We're going to be showing another feature-length film that we can't announce till October 1st.
It's a secret.
Shh. And then we're also going to be showing two short films, Is Yoga Punk by Miguel Chen, you've heard of him.
Teenage Bottle Rocket, right?
And 20 Hours to Get Rad, A Fat Wreck in the Making, which is our little documentary we made about the making of the documentary about Fat Records.
Tell them about the passes.
So there are passes that get you, you get a poster, you get a lanyard, you get access to all the films, and access to the super secret screening. There's going to be a super secret screening that's a free screening to Fest 14 pass holders and pass holders for the Film Fest.
Nice.
Yes. We also are going to have discount tickets for Fest 14 pass holders. I think it's a $5 ticket. The theater has a bar, so you'll be able to drink at the theater.
Yeah.
That'll be fun. So, you have any other questions about it?
No, that sounds about it.
So, me and Joel both play in a band, and just recently, because we heard you guys are interviewing Millencolin, we played with them just a few days ago.
In Salad, Texas.
Yes. But, yeah, it was really awesome. It was really kind of awesome to play with Millencolin, and I hope they come back to the States again soon.
Goodbye!
Goodbye!
Did you catch that? It's the Punk Rock Film Festival during Fest. So we'll probably go or have some kind of information with them if we're going to be covering it.
We're definitely going to be covering it, Bobby. By the way, I just got the email today from the folks that be, and I'm already covered on Pre-Fest and Fest in Gainesville. They need you and Otone's email address. Go check your email, buddy.
Yeah, we're set up.
It's on.
I replied to that, Bob. We're good. Yeah. But did you hear that in the comment there, how they were referring to the fact that they're both in a punk band also, and they opened for Millencolin at the show last week?
Awesome. Yeah, that's great, man.
It was a show in Texas somewhere, but
probably somewhere near Austin. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't even
they don't know. Ever come around here, man, Millencolin, but we'll get more on that later.
Yeah. So they did want me to mention...
Hey, man, you know what? You said in that article that 1990 is when the Fat Records label came about. I think like a week or two ago, didn't you say it was really 24 years that they were celebrating? I was watching that Q Magazine thing today with Fat Mike, and I caught that. So we either gave bad information then or we're giving bad information now.
Oh, really? What? Is the math adds up to 25?
It's Fat Label, I believe, and it comes right out of Fat Mike's mouth. Started in 91. It's really only year 24 right now.
Yeah, that's right. You know what? Maybe those guys were just trying to be nice or something like that. I don't know.
Well, what it was is he just said it was 25 years, and he never checked it himself. He just assumed it was. And then after all was said and done, you know, it was 25 years. He looked back to fact check. He was like, uh-oh, it's 24 years. Oh, well.
Yep.
So they get some extra mileage out of that.
I do want to mention, though, I don't want to leave this out, that for more information about this Punk Rock Film Festival, check out punkrockfilmfest.com or their Twitter handle at punkrockff. All right?
Word.
So, yeah, next on the docket, last week we shared some news about this Massachusetts post-hardcore act, Vana, who are about to release an all-cover record called Alt, which is due for release on October 2nd via Pure Noise Records. Last week, we also told you about their video up on Dying Scene, a pretty awesome cover of Marilyn Manson's Beautiful People. Well, they have another video up this week as well, and it's a cover version of the Offspring classic Self-Esteem. You can check it out on DyingScene.com. All right, so...
Bobby, you ever hear Richard Cheese?
Richard Cheese?
Yeah.
What the hell is that, Bob?
Richard Cheese does all these cover songs, lounge style.
You're right. I've heard of him before. Yeah.
He's got, like, Bobby Gouda, and everybody in the band is named after a cheese. But I like that, man. That's some killer stuff. I think they did The Offspring and Marilyn Manson. And, man, until you've heard those covers done by a swing polka band in a nightclub, that's Richard Cheese.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. Yeah, he is awesome, by the way. Next on the docket, man, in honor of their new live album, 23 Live Sex Acts Against Me has released a live video for their track, Cliche Guevara. And you can check it out on DyingScene.com. Of course, you can also read our review of the album on the DS website, too. The song is originally off Against Me as the Eternal Cowboy. Dude, great news for Boston area Mighty Mighty Bosstones fans. The hometown throwdown is almost upon us. The Bosstones have unveiled plans for the 8th installment of their annual Christmas romp in their hometown. While the event still takes place at their rather cavernous House of Blues, it'll have a much more intimate feel to it than in the past, as it'll pay homage to the long-departed Kenmore Square Club, The Rat. Here's what the band had to say. It is our great pleasure to share the master plan for Hometown Throwdown 18. Once again, we'll be taking over Boston's Palladial House of Blues for 3 nights. But this time, we're getting help from friends we met long ago at Kenmore Square's infamous subterranean Rathskeller Club. We'll be throwing down this year with groups that literally built Boston's underground music scene while paving the way for future generations and inspiring countless bands, including the Bosstones, garage punk legends The Real Kids, Rat Regulars, The Neighborhoods, and a special reunion from Boston's beloved melodic punk band, The Outlets. Anchor this year's lineup. To kick off the festivities, we've got our pals Stranglehold, New Hampshire's finest wise-ass punks, The Queers, and the best rock and roll band to ever strap on guitars and buckle up shoes, The Riotous Upper Crust. Dickie Barrett says, if you weren't there back in the day, here's your chance to get as close to the full Rat experience as we can possibly provide. The sights, the sounds, the smells, if you will. If you were there, then welcome back. The 18th Hometown Throwdown takes place December 26th through 28th, and tickets went on sale this past Saturday. Head on over to DyingScene.com to check out the full night-by-night rundown of the official event flyer. So it's the 26th of December. Bosstones obviously are headlining all these nights, but then it's The Neighborhoods and the Upper Crust. Then on the 27th, The Real Kids and The Queers. The 28th, The Outlets and Stranglehold. So
cool, man. You know, Bouncing Souls also do something like this. It's they call theirs like Home for the Holidays or something like that. Same deal, man. So they string a couple shows together in their hometown and play with a lot of bands. I noticed The Queers are on that bill. And, you know, Bobby, one thing when we had our hiatus during that time, one of the news items that stuck out for me that we never covered, but it was covered on Dying Scene, but not our show. But did you see the article where The Queers were playing and the bass player got all crazy and they had to play the rest of the show without him?
What the fuck happened, man? They had a fight or something like that? What happened with that, man? Why didn't we ever cover that?
Well, I think we were on hiatus when that happened. So,
hold on one second, man. Let me look that up really quick. During their show at the North Park Theater in San Diego a few nights ago, when was this published? This was published on August 12th. The Queers had to literally kick, or I guess you could say shove, their bassist Dangerous Dave off stage after he went on what seemed to be a drunken rampage aimed at destroying the band's drum kit. Someone was nice enough to post a video, so you can check that out on DyingScene.com. Starts around the 5-minute, 7-second mark. Frontman Joe Queer was quick to dispel any rumors of Dave and the Queers parting ways, posting the following on the band's Facebook yesterday. You guys can go check that out if you want to, man.
The moral of the story and what I believe Joe said was, hey, everybody fucks up, so we'll just let it ride.
Yeah. Yep. Music Maestro, please.
So I got some brand new stuff right here from a band called Still Alive. I had a chance to speak with these guys this week prior to the show, and I asked them a couple questions, in particular about the new music video that they've posted. Here's what they had to say when I asked them to expand on that a little bit.
We just finished up a video for the song Almost There. It's the opening track on the record. Our friend AJ Feigl recorded it for us, mostly just about the prohibition of pot and about how we all pretty much have the right to partake if we feel inclined to do so. Looking forward to everyone checking it out.
Yo, these guys are right up my alley, Bob. I believe in the agenda they're pushing wholeheartedly. And with that...
Right on. So then I asked them, just how different is the filming process in comparison to the recording process?
Filming the video was a lot of fun. It was a lot easier than being in the studio, I would say stress-wise, just because the song was already laid out. We just essentially had to play the song 20 times and not look like idiots, which is kind of difficult for some of us. But yeah, it was a lot of fun, and I think it'll show in the video.
Dude, they had to perform the same song 20 times, Bob. Bob, has Pigpen ever shot a video?
We did shoot a video, and I call it State Fair Productions. A buddy of mine a couple years ago was in film school, and he needed to do a project, so his project was to do a music video. So yeah, we did it. We rocked out and posed to the same song 20 or 30 times. We got a bunch of different angles. That was before, you know, everybody had GoPros, and, you know, you could have a bag full of those things, take different angles all at once. Yeah, I filmed some videos, man. I don't know if I like the process of that as much as I like it in the recording studio.
So how many takes did you do? 20 or 30?
Yeah, who knows? Yeah, something like that. A lot. A lot. So then I asked him that now that the new record is out and the video's in the can, what is next for Still Alive?
Next thing would be to release the video. We're still waiting on the final cut. AJ's been putting it together. It looks great. Can't wait to see how it's totally put together. He's got a few more tricks up his sleeves, I'm sure. But after that, we got a bunch of cool shows coming up. We're doing Fest in Florida, doing a couple mini tours out west. We're going to do Omaha and Denver. And then later on in the year, we're going to be doing California. On the way down, we're going to hit Vegas. So we got three Southern California dates ahead, as well as one Las Vegas. And then as far as 2016 goes, just gonna plan on hitting the road and probably start writing some new stuff.
More Fest performers, Bob.
They will be on there. We'll make sure that we get a chance to go check them out while we're there in Gainesville. Hey, Bobby?
Yep.
Choices was originally released on August 25th. It can be streamed in its entirety on Bandcamp. This is the title track. This is Choices from Still Alive on Dying Scene Radio.
Right.
weeks ahead of the release of their upcoming album, that's the Delaware post-hardcore punk band Boy Sets Fire, who have premiered a music video for their brand new tune entitled One Match, which you just heard right there, and it's their first single from the upcoming self-titled album. And Bobby, you can really tell that with their sixth album now under their belt, they are really coming into their own as songwriters. Boy Sets Fire is slated for release September 25th through Bridge 9 Records. Roberto.
Is this a band that you like, Bob? Are you a fan of these guys?
I don't know too much about them, man. They're not really in my wheelhouse. It's just something that came across the wire and playing for the people.
Yeah. Another video release alert. Lots of video releases this week, Bob, like I was telling you before, man. This one by Santa Barbara punk band Versus the World, featuring members of the Ataris and Lagwagon. Their newly released video is for the title track off their new album, Homesick Roadsick, which you can check out on our illustrious website, dyingscene.com. Homesick Roadsick was released in June on Kung Fu Records. It serves as the follow-up to 2012's Drink, Sing, Live, Love, which was released on Viking Funeral Records. What else we got, Bob?
Do you know who owns Viking Funeral Records?
Yes. I do. That would be Fletcher Draghi.
Just checking, man. Just checking your history.
Thank you for keeping it honest, Bob. That's good. That's good. Figure out what I've learned along the way and what stays in my brain. Anyway, let's move on to the next on the docket. Hostile City Class War Productions just announced Take This Bird and Shove It, a sweet three-day festival smack dab in the middle of Thanksgiving weekend at the Voltage Lounge. The event will be full of some of the best punk, oi, and hardcore acts Philadelphia has to offer, including The Unseen, Defiance, Murphy's Law, which I know they're not from Philly, they're from Queens, but they'll be over there too, and Blanks 77, with local support from the Posers, Combat Crisis, Legion 76, The Heels, and a laundry list of other impressive acts you don't want to miss. The festival starts November 25th, takes a day off for Thanksgiving Day, and then continues November 27th and 28th. Fans can purchase two-day or three-day passes on Ticketfly.com, the full link of which you can find on DyingScene.com, or if you're located in the South Philly area, you can pay cash at Sit and Spin Records. For more information about Take This Bird and Shove It, check out their Facebook event page. So, Baba, next on the motherfucking docket, I got L.A. punk legends Fear. You remember them?
Let me do my best imitation of Bobby Pickles. Of course I know who the fuck Fear is, Bobby. But hold on. These guys haven't been around in some time, you know, at least legit. How are they in the news?
Yeah, well, Fear, they've announced that they will release a song that they recorded with the late John Belushi. How about that, Bob?
What?
Yeah,
come
man.
On, wait a minute. Wait a minute, he's been dead for 100 years. How is this news?
What? Oh, man, it hasn't been that long, has it? How long has it been? What, 35? Come on. Anyway, he was a big fan of the band, and, you know, that was the infamous punk band that played on Saturday Night Live in 1979 or whatever, right? And the lead singer, Lee Ving, he became infamous because of that appearance. But anyway, Belushi, who was like a friend of the band, they wrote a song together, and it was supposed to be released for the 1981 film Neighbors. So basically what happened, Lee Ving recently remixed it at Dave Grohl's studio in Los Angeles. The name of the song is unknown at this time, but we'll keep you posted as more details on it come to light.
Now I see why that's news. Okay, man. So Fear and John Belushi doing a track together from the grave. That's right. Kick-ass, bro.
Yeah, man. That's punk rock.
On dude. The Neighbors soundtrack, too. Far out, man.
That's right. Fear last released the Fear record, a re-recording of their iconic 1982 debut album, The Record, in November 2012. The band has not released an album containing new material since 2000's American Beer, and they have been teasing plans to release new music. So you can actually check that out on DyingScene.com. There's a few articles about that.
Bobby, are you ready for some more new music?
I am ready. Bring it on, good, Bob. Man.
I had a chance to talk with a Texas ska punk band called Madeline this week, and they got a brand new 2-song EP that they've put out called No Sound. I spoke with Trevor in the band, and I asked him what he had to say about the new release.
So as for No Sound, we released it as a teaser for our full album we're planning to release in February on Pillar Records. Our last EP was released last November independently, Yellow and Blue EP. We felt it wasn't a true representation of our sound and direction we were moving toward. All of our music thus far can be found on our website at madelineska.com. You can get that in digital or physical format.
Yeah, dude, madelineska.com, Bob. madelineska.com. Madeline. It's that Texas twang, right? That's the pronunciation.
I believe it'd be Madeline would be actually the... Is it Madeline?
He said Madeline.
Okay.
I believe.
See, it's funny. I'll go and I'll order my coffee, and I like to get... This is where you're going to correct me when I'm wrong. Is it caramel or caramel?
I'd say caramel.
I would like to have... Good, okay. Cause that's what I always ask, but I always feel like I'm asking for the wrong thing. Anyway, on that note, I asked Trevor about the band's other members, both current and past, and if it's hard for him to find like-minded individuals who live in his area of Denton, Texas.
So since Madeline began, we've always had our four core members, Trevor, Dan, myself, and Cherry, our singer. We've had a slew of horn players play with us, but they couldn't stay just because of other obligations like school and work and whatnot. We were lucky when we found our newest horn player, our trombone player, Samson. He's a transplant from New York and formerly of Eli Whitney and the Sound Machine. You should check them out if you haven't yet. A pretty good band. We've also recently acquired a new guitar player named Josh, a very talented songwriter and a best friend of mine. If you notice on our website, it does say we're in seek of a sax player. We're pretty content with what we got, but if we should happen to come across a talented person with the time, that'd be pretty great. It's not hard to come across musicians in Denton just because of the big music school that's here in town, University of North Texas. But because of that, many of the horn players we do come across have a pretty solid schedule and don't have a whole lot of downtime.
Yeah, they're looking for a sax player, Bob. You see that? We should help them out with a couple Craigslist posts or something like that.
Yeah, he just mentioned that. And, you know, if the right person comes along, then that would be great. If not, they're well content. But, yeah, sax players, send your resumes to Dying Scene Radio. We'll pass it on. So then the conversation then switched over to how the band was recently nominated in the first ever Ghostly Awards in the Best Ska Band category of 2015. The publication that's nominating them, Ghost of Blind Lemon Blog in Dallas, nominated them. Now, win or lose, I asked them what their thoughts were on receiving the accolades just for being nominated.
So Madeline was recently nominated for Best Ska Band for the Ghostly Awards that's presented by the Ghost of Blind Lemon Blog, which is out of Dallas. I personally think it's cool that we were thought of in the first place, but ska and punk to me isn't really about awards. The nomination itself really just speaks to us that there are people out there that really like what we're doing, and that's kind of what keeps us going. I think any band would really enjoy that, personally.
Nobody ever admits that they do it for the recognition, Bob.
My opinion is this, Bobby, and so my band was nominated for an award in the local mullet rapper here in Tampa, Florida. And yes, I guess it's nice, like he says, just to be, you know, acknowledged, but it seems like a popularity contest a lot of times, or more so often, just a ploy for the publication to route traffic to its website. Hey, come vote for your favorite band. I don't know, man. Good luck to those guys, anyway. But the band itself, Madeline, they were recently signed with Pillar Records in Miami. We asked Trevor to give him the rundown on what that means for the band.
So we were pretty stoked when we were asked to work with Pillar Records. Johnny, the owner, he's a DIY punk out of Fort Lauderdale, seems to work with punk and ska bands exclusively. We're going to Pillar Records studio in Miami at the end of December to record our full length, which will be released in February. We will make it available to Dying Scene at that time as well. What we're really looking to accomplish is to work with Johnny and the other bands on the label to put out some good music and also some good shows out there as well. We're hoping to record our next record in the daytime hours and, of course, jam out Miami at the nighttime. As far as the future is concerned for us, you know, we just love doing what we're doing, and as long as there's kids coming out to shows, we'll keep playing them.
Too many Floridians involved with this band, Bob.
So they're doomed already? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Well, I hope not. But anyway, the band plans to release the full-length album through Pillar Records in February 2016. So without any further ado, Bobby, this is the title track from the new record by Madeline. It's No Sound on Dying Scene Radio.
Shot brains, the child of sound. Help not in time.
Madeline, and you're listening to Dying Scene Radio.
Called Blisterhead, who are premiering their new music video, Tumbling Down. You heard that track right there on Dying Scene Radio. The song is a title track for the band's new album, which is their first full length since returning from their hiatus and 2007's Under the City Lights. You can stream the new album Tumbling Down in its entirety on Spotify, or do the solid buy it on iTunes, or even better yet, pick up the vinyl for the band's own website. You can find all the links on Dying Scene. Bobby, back to you.
Well, we got another new video. This time it's by The Darlings. It's been a while since we've heard from The Darlings. Much too long, in one DS editor's opinion. This week, the LA-based punk rockers popped back on our trusty punk rock radar, unveiling a trippy new video for their track, Little Teenage Thing. Check it out on DyingScene.com. Then, next on the docket, man, get stoked. Gogol Bordello fans, in order to commemorate the 10th anniversary of their iconic album Gypsy Punk's Underdog World Strike, the band has announced a series of tour dates that'll find them playing the album in its entirety. The jaunt kicks off November 8th at the Bomb Factory in Dallas and runs through November 28th, appearing at Brooklyn Bowl in Las Vegas. Check out the full rundown on DyingScene.com. Tickets went on sale to the general public Friday. Find the link for those on the DS website, bitches. Bob, are you a fan of Jawbreaker, the band?
You know, I know that they're popular. I know they have a lot of fans. They're not really a band that I listen to a lot. But, hey, I appreciate good music. Why? What's going on with Jawbreaker?
My buddy was, mentioned to me on Facebook or whatever the other day about Jawbreaker, and we should definitely try to interview them. And, you know, the lead singer apparently lives in New York. But I actually found a news article about the singer, Blake Schwarzenbach of Jawbreaker, who's announced a short solo tour, and it kicks off this week, all the dates of which are taking place in the Northeast, all over the Northeast, man, in Hamden, Connecticut, and Mass, and Kingston, New York, Jersey. Jersey City, New York, New York, and Brooklyn. All over New York, he's playing a solo tour. So, I don't know. I was just asking you, man, what do you think about talking to him? If that interested you or not? Because my buddy got pretty excited about this guy and even said that the Jawbreaker was like one of the best concerts that... Hold on one second, man. Let me find this. Right, Blake from Jawbreaker, the greatest band ever. Why don't you hunt him down on the sidewalk? Said best show ever, State Theater, Jawbreaker, The Queers, and The Smoking Popes. So,
and I believe that Pink Lincolns were on that bill too. I recall that show. I wasn't there, but no, man, Jawbreaker is a great band, and you should seek him out, man. As he's exiting the bodega while he has his cat litter and his catnip for his kittens, you should talk to him.
Music, maestro, please.
For sure. I got some brand new stuff here from the California Street Punks called Harrington Saints, who will be releasing their new 10-inch titled Fish and Chips this week through Pirates Press Records. Additionally, the band has a European tour scheduled through October in support of the release. Now, the Harrington Saints last released a two-song 7-inch called Upright Citizen back in late 2014. It's been 3 years since the band pulled out a full-length, with 2012's Pride and Tradition being their last LP. You can check out the track list for Fish and Chips and find out more on the band's European tour and all the familiar places online. Here's to Harrington Saints, going side by side on Dying Scene Radio.
People like you.
Millen Collin, part of the Brooklyn gig on the U.S. leg of their tour,
yeah,
for the True Brew Tour. And gentlemen, 2015 marks how many years for Millen Collin?
23
We're years.
Just a baby, man.
Yeah. It's nothing.
Barely legal.
Yeah, that's right.
In the States.
Yeah, you're right.
When is the legal age in...
18 is like...
the drinking age.
Yeah.
What age do you talk about?
You know what I'm talking about.
It's 15, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Many bands that last as long as you guys have gone through numerous lineup changes. I can just go down the list. You know, you'll have like one surviving member.
And
they go by that name. What keeps all the original members together?
We're great friends. We've been friends from the start. And we always like split everything like 25, 25, 25, 25. From, you know, everything we do, which is so good. I guess, you know, the money issue could probably be a big problem for bands, you know.
But you really keep it straight.
Yeah.
105, 25, 25. Yeah, you know, we're from a socialist country.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would share everything. but I also think it has a lot to do with that we had a lot of, I mean, some good success with everything, you know. We started to tour outside of Sweden back in 96, you know. Went to the US for the first time, Australia, Japan. I mean, we've been building this for a long time, so now we can, you know, we can tour the world, you know, and do this, and we have good shows, and we're doing good, you know.
I mean, we got great lives, you know, being able to tour and you know, make money off this. I mean, considering this is our job, it blows us away all the time. I mean, it's amazing that we can do this.
Well, that and graphic design and record producing.
Yeah, that stuff, right? But
still, this is our main thing. This is what we've been doing. This is what we do. The other stuff is stuff we do on the side, you know, when we have the time to do it. Yeah. But it's great to do that stuff too.
Like Mattias said, for us, Millen Collin is always the most important
thing. It's number
one. I mean, I got tons of stuff
going
all the time, and Mattias as well, but we always, you know, Millen Collin, that's the main focus still.
And without that, we wouldn't be doing the other stuff anyways, you know, so it's the foundation of our whole...
That lets you do all those other fun things.
Yeah,
it's all fun things regardless, right?
Yeah,
it's all artistic, fun stuff.
Yeah.
Many people are calling True Brew a comeback album in terms of its sound. Does it feel that way to you guys?
Yeah, it actually does.
A little, you know, in a way, it does.
It does, because the last album we put out, which was 7 years ago, was Machine 15, which, you know, we were...
What the hell does Machine 15 mean, by the way?
We were...
A lot of stuff gets lost in translation.
We had been a band for 15 years when we did the album.
And we were like,
got it.
That's fucking Swedish punk rock machine, you know?
Come on, man. Did you know that? What the fuck?
I thought it was obvious.
Yeah. Come on.
It was 7 years between True Brew and your last studio album.
Yeah.
How long do you anticipate fans are going to have to wait between True Brew and your next studio album?
I think it will be much shorter since the last one. We kind of find... I think on this record, honestly, it feels like we kind of found our sound and we're happy with it. You know, in Machine 15, we were still trying to push it somewhere. You know, trying to make a greater production, sounding more, you know, clearer. We had like strings and stuff, but it didn't turn out good. So on this album, we're just focusing on like what are our main influences, like music-wise, when we started a band and along the way, which was like Bad Religion, for example. And then like, how do we sound live? How do we want to sound when we play the songs live? You know, and
I guess
what is Millen Collin?
Yeah, we wanted to sound more Millen Collin than Millen Collin.
Yeah.
So I mean, we kind of found that, and it's also, I mean.
It's so much fun, but still like a comfort zone in a way, because this is what we've developed, you know, become over these years. And it feels like
You've been doing that since the beginning, right? I mean, where it started out with the three main, you guys and Nicola.
Yeah.
And then you brought in Frederick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then who was the drummer originally?
Yeah, the drummer.
I mean, and then you picked up the second guitar because you wanted to recreate that music on stage.
Yeah. And it's
that same kind of thing.
And our music sounds much better with two guitars, and I mean, Mattias was a great drummer actually, but we want to be four pieces is better
in a way.
Millen Collin rarely tours the US
and
when you do, it's usually in the larger cities, bigger markets. As you can see from my stupid t-shirt that I'm wearing, I'm a self-described Floridian. When are you guys gonna go to Florida?
Hopefully on our second leg of the US. I mean, we're not done yet for sure. I mean, we we're going back now for Europe and South America and more Europe, but then like next year we're gonna come back for
first
sure.
Half of next year hopefully we'll be in Florida.
Was the last time you were there? Do you even know? Do you remember?
Yeah, but it was probably back in 2006.
No, we did Warped
yeah,
there.
5
2005.
It's only 10 years, man, come on. Nothing.
This is a totally random question, kind of personal. A really good friend of mine, Frankie Donofrio, who went by the name of Frankie D. He passed away about 5 years ago.
Whoa, Frankie D.
He was a huge Mellon Collin fan, a tattoo artist from my home state of Florida. And he apparently, I grew up with this guy, yeah. He apparently brought his tattoo gun with him to one of your shows or something, and you each tattooed your signatures onto his leg. Do you guys remember this event?
He's dead?
He died, man, 5 years ago.
Oh.
When I moved to New York, about a week later, he died.
Well, what happened?
Nobody even knows. He was in the middle of texting his girlfriend, and he just died. They didn't even say it was like a heart condition or anything. No autopsy was done on him. Wow. He was kind of mobbed up, to be honest with you.
I
really don't know what's the deal with Frankie D. He was friends with you guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, but we have it on camera, actually.
You do?
At his shop.
We did the Punkorama tour together with
2000,
Vision, Oscar, and Ten Foot Pole.
Oh wow! Oscar.
Yeah, and right outside of the show in St. Pete, a guy just pulled up in it like a pickup, and it's like, "Hey, come buy my tattoo shop."
Yeah.
Blah 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 tattoo, and we're like, "What did he mean? Did he offer like
free tattoos
or something?" It's right up the street. Okay, let's walk over there. So we walked over
right
there
on the corner from Janus Landing. Exactly. That's where you probably played at.
Yeah, and he was like, "Okay, I want to tattoo your autographs." We're like, okay, that seriously? Yeah, crazy. And then we started to write our autographs on a piece of paper. He's like, no, you're going to tattoo your autographs on my leg.
I remember when I did mine, I was like, it looked so bad, man. I was so embarrassed.
Is there any way to get that video? Do you have it somewhere?
I have it on an old DVD tape.
Is it on something? Yeah. Can you put it up? Can you put it up somehow?
I will, actually, because when I did like a small video about the recording of Penn Ridge Pioneers. So I found it on some DV tapes there. So I have it somewhere.
But it's weird because this is the tour story that we always bring up when people are telling us about Uber.
Tell
us something crazy. I was thinking about that guy right before we left.
Dude, it's sad, man.
He was
like, you know, a minor celebrity. He like tattooed Paris Hilton, all these big timers, Kat Von D.
Oh, yeah.
And he was really making it. And that happened just
before. What, he tattooed Paris Hilton?
Paris Hilton, yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah.
We're going to go back from Florida to LA.
I still got a shirt that he gave us.
Yeah, the Dodgers.
The Dodgers shirt. Yeah. I got it at home. Yeah.
It was nice. Oh, wow. I didn't know.
That's sad, man. That's really so sad.
To hear. Oh, yeah.
Where do you feel your following is stronger, U.S. or Sweden or Canada?
The same.
It's big up there.
But Canada is a little bit bigger than the U.S. I mean, the
East Coast.
Montreal,
what is it like, that punk rock, like, you know, it's like a suburban thing, you know? Right?
Yeah,
the more suburban, like, you'll notice it. This guy's from freshly here in New York.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
LA.
LA, okay.
And, you, and you
like
know,
a
like...
a suburb to New York. Yeah. No.
Out in Cali, like everybody loves it up there. I mean, California is all about punk.
Yeah, we just came from California now, and California is great. It's always been a really, really strong market for us, and we love California. I mean, our record label is there, and you know, we recorded Penn Ridge Pioneers there for 2 months. I mean, we feel really at home in LA by some reason. And we also, you know, we grew up with the skateboarding culture, and you know, everything comes from, you know, the area around California. So, you know.
Yeah. But I mean, Florida has been very strong for us here too.
Yeah, hell yeah.
And I mean,
now we haven't been for a long time.
No, but it used to be.
So you guys
suck when it comes to that, man.
Yeah, coming around.
Oh, yeah. Do your Swedish fans ever complain that you guys should do more songs in your native tongue?
Not really. I think they want us to sing in English, but we've done a couple of songs in Swedish, you know.
Yeah.
And they like that, but I mean, it's not a problem at all. There's tons of bands singing in English. I mean,
Swedish music. I mean, ever
the
since
scene, you know.
Maybe say the 60s or whatever, have been like 50% in English, 50% in Swedish. So it's nothing new that Swedish bands are singing in English.
Nowadays, it's probably 70% in English.
In English.
Well, all countries try to cross over to American.
I mean, Sweden is very, very influenced by the English speaking countries. You know, everyone speaks English very good, you know. we don't dub the movies new to Swedish. It's subtitled now. So
yeah. I mean, you grew up with English and American.
I do feel like you guys, for, you know, you wouldn't call English your first tongue.
No, not at all.
But you guys really were able to transcend, you know, and you know, a lot of bands try to do that when they're from foreign countries.
Yeah.
And they can't really, like you guys have. But True Brew sounds more akin to, you guys talked about Pennybridge Pioneers. Yeah. It sounds more akin to that than it does to the last couple of records. Was that intentional, or did it just naturally turn out that way?
It actually naturally turned out that way. I mean, yeah, it was not intentional in any way, but it was just like, it was time to do this.
Yeah,
and we had those songs, and as Eric told you before, it's we've been touring a lot, and you know, you get the energy from touring.
And,
you know?
Yeah, and we did the 10-year anniversary of Pennybridge Pioneers. Yeah. Which, by some reason, we never went to the States, but we did Canada, and then we did the rest of the world, but not the US. And it was here we recorded the album and everything, and it's our biggest album in the US.
We didn't have the time, man. Come on.
Just strange that we didn't do the US. But still, I mean, we had that freshly in mind, you know, because when we started to do that tour, after you record an album and you go out on the road, you play maybe, I mean, 30% of the album live, or 50%. But there's like 50%. You don't even touch, you know, the chords.
Because we've got so many songs.
You know, after the studio. So when we did that 10-year anniversary thing, we kind of, you know, relearned like 50% of the songs.
Yeah,
which was really fun,
song.
You know, and they turn out to be good live songs. So, I mean, having that freshly in mind felt like, you know, we kept on with that sound for the next album. Felt like really
natural
for us.
Yeah, very natural thing to do.
Many of the punk bands out of Sweden and other Scandinavian countries seem to draw their influences heavily from Millen Collin. Do you guys notice that others borrow heavily from your sound?
Who?
I mean, that makes me proud. You know,
you don't notice that.
Which bands? Well, Swedish bands.
Swedish bands and a lot of Scandinavian bands.
Awesome.
I just noticed that there is
kind of like a
similarity in the sounds.
Yeah,
have you noticed that?
No.
It's hard to notice.
Maybe it's hard to notice, but you know, we were actually the first of a bunch of bands who came out here touring, and the same bands are using the same booking agent, the same, you know, the same way that we created into, you know, touring here. So I mean, it's the same network, you know, in a way. Our agent, he's the agent for the Hives, for tons of bands, you know. And they started out touring the U.S. by the same connections as us. So, I mean, we're really close. You know, Sweden is a small country. We all know each other and everything. So it's maybe it's natural. But you know,
cousins hooking up with cousins.
Yeah.
But I guess since we've been around, inbred Swedes.
Yeah.
No, but it's hard for us, you know, to you're saying that, but we couldn't. Hell, you know?
No,
actually, my co-host Bob wrote that question. He's a stupid bastard. He doesn't, you know, everything he says.
He sounds like a good guy.
Awesome question, man.
To me, and actually, when I say to me, I mean Bob, because he wrote this question too. I feel that Millen Collin's easily identifiable, and it's really a trademarked sound. Do you guys ever consider yourselves formulaic in the way that you come up with your songs?
Like we have a formula.
I gotta ask the asshole questions. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Like we have a formula. The world's.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's the same guys writing the songs.
You hear No Effects, you know it's gonna be a No Effects song, right? I mean, anyway, you guys have this.
But like I said, before we were trying to push our sound, you know. Pennybridge Pioneers was a great album, but then we're trying to be more rock and roll on Home From
and
Home.
By the way, I realize the evolution of it. I mean, I know you guys went from ska stuff, right?
Exactly.
And then you really
we always tried to push.
Yeah, but hey, everything is natural. You do it. The song comes out, and you do what you do.
Yeah,
but it's not a very European thing to say.
Yeah,
but I mean, you don't really like plan like next album is going to be like this or that. I mean, it actually turns out the way it does.
But you can still choose how to produce it. Like on Machine 15, we choose to make a more like commercial, you know,
limit shimmery,
crisp sounding.
But on
this one, we wanted to sound more punk rock. But yeah, I mean, every band is a formula, and I tell you, the guys who appreciate the formula, that's the fans, because if they like something, they want to hear, you know, new songs sounding like like new song.
I love songs from the
album which weren't there. You know, they hate it when you change. We get that all the time. Why can't you sound like the first three albums? You know, and we were kids back then, you know. Of course we can't sound like that, but maybe like Pennybridge Pioneers, because that's what was when we like formed our sound in a way. So I mean, it's so hard. I mean, bands I mean, I'm the same way. You know, Rancid is my favorite band, and I think Outcome the Wolves is the best album in the world. And I like, wow, why can't, you know, I was so disappointed with the Crust album. And then I mean, then they've done great songs, but still, I know they can't do another, you know, an Outcome the Wolves. But still, it's so hard because, you know, they were in a certain...
And you were in a certain...
I wasn't...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everything has to do when you discover something, you know. Maybe you like that album the best. You know, it's the same thing for
and
me.
And they were in a certain state of mind as well. You know,
maybe some people like the first album better.
Yeah.
For them, you know, but it's always going to be like that.
But honestly, I feel very proud of True Brew because it feels like
I love True Brew.
Oh, thanks.
It's awesome, man. I can listen to it from, you know, beginning to end.
Oh, cool.
10 days in a row.
That's awesome. Thanks a lot.
And that's genuine. Absolutely, I love it.
But the whole process felt so genuine. I mean.
We put a lot of hard work into it.
We produced everything, and we did everything on our own. And that's
all the artwork, everything. Everything's DIY. It's really the punk ethos.
It's recorded in our home studio.
The first video, you know.
That's right.
Yeah.
All those videos, did you have a hand in that too? The cartoon, like computer age ones?
I had
ones?
A hand, but I didn't do anything really. But I always had, you know, this finger has been in there, you know. I need to do that. But it's hard to do the videos on your own. I think this one is the first real one I put together everything on my own, you know. Edited it, directed and edited everything, you know.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, because those are some really good videos.
Yeah, and the new one is all made by these GoPros.
And you did that. You did the little character with the X eyes or whatever.
No, not the new one.
No, not that one.
The first one we did.
The first one.
No, the other one is a total different story.
Okay, sorry.
The other one, we were actually on tour. We did, like, they shot the scenes with us in our hometown, but then the guy was a close friend of ours. He, you know, went to here and to LA and to Paris and to
Berlin
with the costume and had different different guys in the costume.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, guys,
we have the costume, so we're gonna bring
him on tour.
Him on tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why didn't you do that now? You should have. Be
because of, you know, you can't fly with too much stuff.
And our crew is too fat to fit into the costume.
Yeah,
that's
we need
a big problem.
Guy.
We need a slim guy, and we haven't found him yet. So yeah.
Just two more questions. Right. What's your favorite Millencolin album so far that you've done?
The new one, of course.
The new one.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean,
and the first demo, maybe.
No, but you know, as a band, you get. First of all, you don't really listen to your old stuff at all, but everybody says like the last album, but this time around I can honestly say that I'm really happy how it turned out because it just feels so honest.
But maybe it's better. You should ask the band 10 years after their last album.
You have to
album.
Have time to let it sink in.
Because they would be so sad if we were sitting here with a new album and say, oh, the second album, Life on a Plate, is the best album. That would be very sad.
What's your second favorite album?
Yeah,
but I like Home From Home a lot. I think that's a very good album that has like a mix of, you know.
But the whole recording process and everything of Penny Beach Pioneers was something special.
A lot of fun.
We did like the Warped Tour US and like the follow-up tour.
But we're talking about the album here, man, not the touring.
We played those songs.
But I like that album too, of course. Yeah.
Do you guys ever read Dying Scene?
Yeah, I do. You're aware of it? Yeah, of course.
If you could recommend one new band or new album for the readers of Dying Scene to check out, who or what would it be?
I would recommend an English band called Royal Blood that I like. I think that they're kind of more rock, you know?
Yeah, and they're a bit
too mainstream, I don't know.
For Dying Scene, for sure. But
that's my recommendation.
Yeah, that's yours. Wow, it's
Rancid,
so hard.
Maybe?
It's so hard. No, but I really like the band who supported us on the West
Success?
Coast. Yeah, Success.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah, nice guys.
Yeah, I recommend them for sure.
Yeah, they're
really, really
cool
great.
Band.
Great guys. And
nice people. I had a thorn in my heart. It was there from the start. I had a life. It was sad. It was all I had. I died a bit every day. I had a girl. She was fine. But we walked the line. The fat house and the club. But I was a star. I died.
Now the way we were.
Fletcher from Pennywise. You're listening to Dying Scene Radio. Stay tuned for all the greatest, latest vinyl hits.
Australian, catchy, melodic, fast. That's Ivan Drago. The band, formed by still active members of various Sydney area bands, self-described as the band equivalent of waking up at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday, asking wearily, "Where's the fucking Barocca?" Ivan Drago has taken their time writing the debut self-titled full-length, and their patience has certainly paid off. There are contrasting styles, from catchy hooks to guitar solos, harmonies to more yelly stuff. There's something for everybody on the record, and perhaps everything for somebody. It's streaming right here on DyingScene.com. Before that, of course, Millencolin, the Swedish punk veterans. They released a video for that song right there called Bring Me Home. It's off their new album, True Brew. The video was shot in 5 different locations, L.A., New York, Berlin, Paris, and their hometown of Örebro, Sweden. True Brew was released in April through Epitaph Records and serves as the band's first studio album in over 7 years. Prior to True Brew, Millencolin last released a compilation album entitled The Melancholy Connection on May of 2012, and their last studio album, of course, Machine 15, back in 2008. What else was in that set, Bobby? Double Standard, Half Empty Glass. That's a band out of central Wisconsin. Make sure you go check out their page if you're into the Replacements, the Briggs, the Gaslight Anthem. It's going to be right up your alley, man. People like you.
And we had my interview with Millencolin.
That was a great interview, man. Great stories, man, about your buddy, the tattoo artist, man. And really cool that he remembered that. I hope they find the video and pass it on to you. And I like the fact that they think I'm a downright swell guy, man. How about that?
Yeah. Did you genuinely like the interview? Did I do okay without you?
You were fine, man. You were just fine. You asked all my questions properly.
That's right. We had you asking questions. You were there in spirit. You had like 2/3 of the questions. And I think Dave, Johnny X, who was there too, actually, he contributed like 2/3 also. So, anyway.
So you ran into the head honcho, the boss over there at the show. How'd that go?
Went well, man. Went to the show. You know, I had him hold my bag briefly. Of my radio equipment, my Zoom. So
wait, you had him hold your bag?
Yeah, man. I didn't have him hold it. I just put it right by his feet or whatever while we were watching the show, so I could, you know, hey, this is my bag's right here. I'm gonna jump into the pit for a little bit and then I'll come back. You know,
you don't ever let another man hold your bag, man.
Bro, what the fuck am I supposed to do, man? Are you serious? I'm there. I'm trying to enjoy myself. Listen, Bob, I don't know about you. I mean, you're an old man. You're 46 years old. But are you 17-year-old boy enough to get in the pit still?
Oh, yeah, dude. I show those kids how it's done.
Good, good, good. All right. I'm sorry I ever doubted you, Bob. Let's move on.
You'll find me in the pit, bro. I don't know where the fuck you were at.
All right. Listen, Dutch pop punk band Dowser have premiered a brand new music video for their song Bottomless Pits. The song appears on their most recent full-length Bummer Camp. As always, it is an interesting video that you should probably see for yourselves. Find the shit right there on, you guessed it, the DS website, man. Bummer Camp was released in September 2014 through No Panic Records and serves as a follow-up to the band's 2012 EP release, Facing Paper Tigers. Bob, you know what? Dude, speaking of music videos, so many were released this week, and one I failed to mention because this podcast really only focuses on the punk rock genres, but we did mention last week that they have a new record coming out.
Who's they?
Slayer, man.
Slayer.
We mentioned it briefly last week, and they just came out with a video for Repentless. What a fucking awesome prison video, bro. Did you see this, by the way?
I did, actually, man. I gotta tell you, too, man. Tom Araya's looking downright haggardly, man. He was looking like a hobo. But yes, I saw the video. Pretty intense, nice and bloody. I take back everything that I may have said derogatory about Slayer last week. This was downright kick-ass, man.
Hell yeah, dude. I love them, man. People getting their throats slit, blood, gore. Danny Trejo. And it's not on Dying Scene yet, but I'm sure they're going to post it. But if they don't, I'm going to post it myself, man. Check the DS page first, ladies and gents. But if it's not there, then find it somewhere else, man. Fucking Slayer, man. Well, best video of the week, in my opinion.
Hey, just go post it on the Dying Scene Radio Facebook page. While you're there, give us a like.
You can go ahead and do that. You have controls of that thing too, right?
Sure.
Yeah, man. Anyway, Arizona folk punk, Polka Funk band Andrew Jackson Jihad has announced that they will be hitting the road this November with Jeffrey Lewis and Los Bolts and Roswell Kid. You can see a full list of dates and locations on DyingScene.com. One standout is Tampa, Florida, man, the Orpheum, November 11th. There you go.
Cool. Good luck to those guys.
And then the annual DIY Punk Festival, Not Dead Yet, recently announced its full lineup for this year's 4-day event, which spans across the city of Toronto at multiple venues, both large and small. The lineup is set to include bands like Title Fight, Nightbirds, Power Trip, Foundation, Una, Bestia, Incontrollable. I believe those guys are from Barcelona, Spain. This is going to be their only North American date this year. Also, Suicide, Destruction Unit, and many more hardcore and punk rock bands from all over. The festival is currently in its fifth installment, growing and expanding with every passing year. Tickets and scheduling info are currently listed in full at notdeadyettoronto.tumblr.com/NDY2015.
Those crazy Canadians, they still got the Tumblr sites up. Hey, Bobby, we played that band Ivan Drago. I got to ask you, do you know who Ivan Drago is?
Of course, man, Rocky IV. Why would you ever disrespect me with that stupid question?
Well, I wrote it down in my notes. I should have left that one off my notes.
That's it. You just crapped out, Bob. You crapped out. We got this far and you crapped out.
No, I was just checking with you, man. You about ready to wrap this thing up, Bobby?
Yeah, man. You just crapped out. I'm ready to go. We're done. The game's over, man. You rolled a 7.
I'm ready to cash out, man. I'm ready to cash out.
We lost everything. We had all our money on the table, Bob, and you fucking rolled a 7. We're done.
You blew your load. I'm ready to go. I got some brand new stuff right here from the Slovenian skate punks, Start at Zero. Now, they've released a brand new music video for a song called Buzzer Beater. This track will be appearing on the band's upcoming EP, Against the Stream, which will serve as the follow-up to the 2014 full-length, Facing Insanity. Here it is, it's Start at Zero, Buzzer Beater, on Dying Scene Radio. See you next week, Bobby!
See you next week, Babo. Adios.
Way too hard.
Cock Sparrow. I'm with Daryl.
Oi, oi, this is Cock Sparrow. Listen to Dying Scene, you cunts.
Behave yourselves. Have fun. Cheers now. Dying.